talking about their concerns of the decline in long-term care beds. I would venture to say, I mean, we've had the health minister on a number of times. There, it's no surprise to the health minister that this is a pressure in the province. The problem is, you know, you can look at pressures in healthcare. They are many. There are pressures in education. There are pressures in public safety. And so the balance comes, and this is what I spoke with Keith about. The balance comes in, you know, how do you prioritize spending? Now, one of the points that Keith made, and maybe there's some merit to this, is finding a way to help people who need care but could receive care in their home or the home of a loved one. So you've got people coming in to provide day services. What that does is alleviate the pressure on these long-term beds in facilities where people arguably could receive the care in their home as opposed to there. So I made note of this. We'll talk to the health minister the next time he is on the show about that. But I do appreciate a number of people have weighed in. And you know, this is one of those topics where my mom will give me a dirty look if she hears me saying this, because my mom is still very much living a great life and does not need a care facility. But we have a growing population of baby boomers, right? We do. And we know that over the next few years, we are going to see more and more pressure on the system. So how is this being baked into a healthcare strategy? What does this look like going forward? I got a text here from Lorna in White City. Just an observation, she said, I think it's fair to talk about the fact that the Saskatchewan Health Authority recently purchased two already built long-term care facilities, one in Emerald Park, which is fully functioning, and one in Northwest Regina. Not saying we don't have a shortage, but these two already established facilities should be noted as investments. There are investments. I mentioned this with Mr. Jorgensen on the show today. I mean, I've got the list here of major capital projects, even just if you look in the last 5 years. The Regina Specialized Long-Care Facility, Regina Standard Long-Term Care Facility, Grenfell, LaRange, Meadow Lake, multiple replacement homes completed under the government's commitment to replace 13 aging facilities. So there's been capital costs. There's been operational costs, millions of dollars spent. Doesn't mean that we don't have a problem. We do. We have a shortage and we have to address it. Now, there's a text here. There's actually two that speak to CCAs. We're talking about continuing care assistance. People alleging they're underpaid. They have to pay for their own education. There's challenges with kind of the labor standards under which they work, you know, with regard to overtime and things like that. The ratio of continuing care assistance to patients, in some cases, 1 to 18. So it doesn't matter what condition they're in, because you can appreciate there's varying conditions that they would be dealing with in terms of needs of people in long-term care. 1 to 18 sounds really, really high to me. So, you know, the fact that we've had a couple, both of these texts don't have a name attached to them. I have no idea if they have personal experience with this or not, but the suggestion that some work needs to be done to recruit and enhance the number of continuing care assistants in the program. Other people suggesting we need better oversight on the individual care homes that exist. So I feel like just reading some of this, people are really leaning into the quality of care. So it's not about do we have the right number of beds, it's are we providing the right quality of care. We are in open lines. Thank you to all these great texts coming in, 1-877-332-8255. If you would like to join the conversation by phone, you can do it as well. Same phone number. Terry in Saskatoon says, my mother-in-law could not care for herself. She had cancer, in and out of the hospital over a year before she passed away. Nice care homes were unwilling to take her, as they said her needs were too great for their staff. We pushed for a nursing home bed, but was told by the hospital coordinator that because she did not have dementia or was not incontinent, she did not qualify. So this speaks to, Keith Jorgensen was talking about this, right? They have different indicators of threshold that bumps you to the next level of care. So in this case, Terry's talking about his mother-in-law didn't have dementia. She was not incontinent, so she didn't qualify for that next level of care. We finally found a personal care bed that would take her. We reluctantly moved her in. Two weeks later, she passed away. So Terry's point is the province needs to build more nursing home beds if we want our elders to age with dignity. That's a good text, Terry. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. 1-877-332-8255. So if you want to talk long-term care bed and facilities, feel free to shoot us a text. Maybe you want to talk about the fact that apparently the ceasefire is over. If you have listened to U.S. President Donald Trump, of course, he's at the NATO meetings in Turkey. They're wrapping up today. But if you have listened to any of his conversation, it's pretty evident the ceasefire is over.
To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum.
They're scum. Maybe part of his bargaining tactic. He even seems to think it's a waste of time to even try and negotiate.
As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars.
Now, some people are saying this is part of Trump's strategy. He, you know, puts them down in a way to antagonize them into a deal.
They're sick people. They're led by sick people, and they're vicious, violent people.
I'm not so sure that Iran is really in the mindset that they are eager to make a deal. Like, if you think what has Iran got out of what's going on right now? Number one, the group that is leading the country, that controls the military, they have already demonstrated that they have quite disregard for the everyday citizens of their country, right? We've seen that in how they've dealt with protests in the past and things like that. So are they deterred by bombing? Right now, they've got a shutdown and controlled Strait of Hormuz, which many historians will tell you that they've wanted to be able to have a choked Strait of Hormuz for decades. They have seen the world deplete their oil reserves, which Iran is happy to see. And many are suggesting that they are happy to wait this out until after the U.S. midterm elections. And what is that going to show for Donald Trump? Does that neuter the strength and ability that they have? So I'm just not convinced that Iran even wants to negotiate a ceasefire deal, which is probably why we saw three oil tankers bombed in the Strait of Hormuz the other day, which, of course, prompted the retaliation of 80 attacks by the United States in various strategic locations. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back to the topic of long-term care beds. A number of people have been continuing to text in on that topic, and I want to take this call from Joanne in Saskatoon. Hi, Joanne. Thanks for calling in. You've got some experience in this area?
Hi, Evan. Yes, I do. I have two points I'd like to make. I have a son who's 22 years old, who's cognitively and physically disabled. And so in addition to the long-term care issue, we really do need a medical needs group home or care homes for individuals that haven't reached the senior ages but do require additional care. So that's something I've been advocating for him. And in addition to that, my mom spent a lot of time in and out of hospital. Very similar. She had a vascular disease. Long-term care was not available for her. And so I've started my own company called Be Home Companion Care. And so what I do is I provide services for seniors who want to stay in their homes, who are not eligible for long-term care, but need assistance in their day-to-day activities. So I'm a huge advocate for long-term care facilities in the province and just helping our elderly pass away or have dignity in the life and the mm-hmm. years that they still have.
Mm-hmm. Where could people find, do you have a website, Joanne?
I do. I have a website, behomecompanioncare.ca. You can check out all my information there, and it's just a wonderful service. I've partnered up with some of the care home facilities. Warm and Diamond House is one of them. happy to service those that are looking for additional services and help.
It's a good topic, good conversation, and a great perspective, Joanne. Of course, you've got some experience there. Interesting, because I saw a text message saying exactly what Joanne said about medical needs group homes. So these are for people with medical needs who may not be of the senior's age, but they still need some sort of long-term care to address what can be very complex medical needs as well. So and interesting that Joanne's talking about the work that she does to help people receive the care that they need while in their home, because for some people that might be the answer. Do we have enough resources there? Should we be focusing resources there? And ultimately, and I know a few people have mentioned this on the text line, how do we pay for it? I asked Keith that question, and I mean, he talked about the cost-benefit analysis of being able to keep people who are able to stay home in their home, but you still have to pay for that somehow. Where does the money come to pay for that? Because it's not one or the other. You do that to alleviate the pressure in the care home, and those beds are going to get filled. We know the number is growing. So it's not like you do one and not the other. You have to do both, which is money, and how do you pay for it? Good conversation. Appreciate everyone weighing in. Phone's still open, 1-877-332-8255. Let's take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM. Just like yesterday.
As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people.
I have to correct something. There's a text on the line that said, Evan, we don't have a growing population of baby boomers. There's no more baby boomers being born. Very good point. What I think what I meant to say, and I misspoke, and if I did, I'm sorry. I meant to say we have a growing population of baby boomers that need and require long-term care, right? That generation is moving in, and that's a big generation. We know that. That generation is moving into the bracket in their life where they are needing care. Some of it is I would say much more subtle. Some of it is much more complicated in terms of the type of care that they require. And it's not cheap. There are many people pointing out, and I've got examples of this in my family as well. It is not cheap if you're wanting to move into some sort of a retirement home where, you know, you receive maybe some of your meals supplied, maybe some cleaning services, maybe some healthcare services. I mean, as your level of care goes up, so does the cost. And it is unaffordable for many people to try and find that level of healthcare. Now, there are some people saying, why is it the government's responsibility to take care of my mother or my father in the event that their health fails? Got a text from Darren in Saskatoon. There are many types of insurance out there that will help cover these expenses. We judge society on how they take care of the elderly and the young, and many other cultures where they live in homes a fraction of the size of what we live in. There can be two or three generations living and caring for each other within the same home. So basically, Darren's point is, we think it's the government's responsibility to take care of our elders, but there is a personal responsibility there. And if the solution is not having them live with you in your home, maybe that's a reason why insurance should be sought at an appropriate time to help cover some of these costs when they arise. Now, is that affordable for everyone? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to the phone lines. I want to grab this call. Jeff in Regina. I appreciate the call, Jeff. Join the conversation. What have you got?
Morning, Evan. I was kind of wondering, why doesn't Regina and Saskatoon build new hospitals, one each, and then you can turn either the general and one in Saskatoon into our long-term care facilities?
Right. So you're...
God knows we need new hospitals in both of these cities.
So focus on, I mean, I'm following your bouncing ball here. You're saying we build new hospitals with expanded capabilities and then use the old ones, turn them into long-term care facilities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can get an addiction to treatment center in that same facility. We could build it up. It just, there seems to be so much overrun with these smaller care facilities that they all need a director, they all need this, they all need that. Why can't we get them all under one roof?
You know, I mean, to me, on paper and just on the face of that, it makes great sense. Building a new hospital, that beautiful hospital going up in Prince Albert right now, Victoria Hospital, is, I was there for about a year ago to watch some of the construction going on there. I mean, that's a $1 billion price tag. So not cheap. Might be a good solution. I'm not at all saying the solution doesn't have merit. What I'm saying is that's big money. And how do we pay for that? And then if you build it, like if we were to build 20 more facilities than we have in the plans right now, that's just the walls, the ceiling, the lights, the chairs, the desks, the beds. You still have to staff them. You still have to operate them. And it is expensive. And so how do you do it? How do you pay for it? And, you know, the one thing I will say is I'm not a person who right away jumps on the diminishing number of healthcare facilities. And I will say this in defense of the current government, the former NDP government. I mean, what we have seen with the loss of some healthcare facilities in smaller communities, the loss of, you have RCMP detachments that have been amalgamated, education facilities. There is a cost to running individual facilities. And so as you traverse the very complicated challenge of providing these services to society, often it makes sense to say, look, we just can't have a healthcare facility in a community this small. Maybe you can convert it into some sort of a care home, but we're going to move healthcare to this community nearby, which is bigger. I know people don't like it. I remember when the school in Abernethy, the little village that I was raised in, the school in Abernethy was shut down, then torn down. People weren't happy about it, but the number of students was so small, it just didn't make sense. And students eventually were bused to Bell Terrace, and that's where they went to school. That happens in healthcare facilities as well. And I don't know that we can be completely alarmed by that. There are some reasons why the business case makes sense. Might not enhance the level of care we're giving. That could be part of it, but it's part of how I think just society has evolved. This is a good conversation and one that we're not done. We're moving on. We've got another guest coming up, but I'm sure we will broach this topic again. And thank you so much for everyone's input. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.